Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, verse number 54. This is July 30th, 2008, in Radha Gopinath Temple. Look at that. How is that? Can't believe it. I just charged it. And it says low battery. Isn't it strange? No way, it's strange. Here. I think the battery is, life is finished. It's time to see in Bombay if we can open this up and change the Lai Ion battery. Okay. This is a nice chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. What Prahlad learned in the womb. It's good. It's instructive. There are, according to the reminiscences of Jyoti Shekhar that he gave to Bhaktivikas Swami, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had suggested three sections of Bhagavatam devotees should read 100 times, 108 times, like that. This is one of them. This is one canto, canto 7. He commented Dhruv Charitra, fourth canto, Prahlad Charitra, seventh canto, and the Kapila Shiksha, third canto. He said, read those 100, 108 times. It makes sense, because if you read it that much, well, something's bound to stick. So it's good advice. Dhyaya yaksha rakshang teya yaksha rakshangshi Striya shudra rajogasha Kaga mraga papa jiva Shanti yachuta tangata. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, shudras, coward men, the birds, the lower animals, the sinful living entities can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Purport. Devotees are referred to as Achyuta Gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, as indicated in the Bhagavad Gita. Senayor bayor madhye ratam stapya me Achyuta. Quote, the Lord is infallible in the material world because he is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlada's mother was in the conditional state and was the wife of a demon, even yakshas, rakshasas, women, shudras, even birds and other lower living entities can become elevated to the Achyuta Gotra, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. As Krishna never falls, when we revive our spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achyuta Krishna, who says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 9, Ajanamakaramachame dibhyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktvadeyam punarajanamanaiti mameti savarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjun. One should understand Achyuta, the supreme infallible, and how we are related with him. And one should take to the service of the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srila Madhvacharya says, Achyuta, Achyutatam, Chuti, Varjanum. The word Achyutatam refers to one who never falls to this material world, but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. End of the purport. Vrindavane ramanarete Prasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule jnanam param padamai krishna sudharam chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste sangsara dukkha jaladao patitasya kama krodadi nakrama karai kavali kritasya durvashana nigaditasya nirashrayasya chaitanya chandra mamadehe badavalambam jaladara shashivarno gopavesha kishoro Sahachara Ganavrindai Krita Mana Brajesho Natabara Chittavesho Nilapitam Varadyo Jagadajana Neheto Rama Krishna Nato Asmi Vanjakalpadurubhyascha Kripasandubhyevacha. What is significant about Prahlad Maharaj was his complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times, at all places, and under all circumstances, irregardless of what happened to him personally. That's first thing. Prahlad Maharaj remained focused. He knew what his duty was, to take shelter of Nrisimhadev. And he did it. And it didn't matter what happened to him in his personal life. He remained focused. That's his position. That's his greatness. In terms of achar, in terms of his own example. And what about his vichar? What was his contemplation? His contemplation was, how can those of my people that surround me, in case in his circumstances was the yakshas and rakshasas, because he was from that family, daitya family. So how they can attain the supreme? That was his focus. Okay? That was his vichar, what he was contemplating. How they can become uplifted. Now that's a very big call. Because they were not inclined to Krishna consciousness. But that did not dissuade Prahlad Maharaj. He remained focused. How they can become uplifted. The daunting task of somehow or another inculcating them with Krishna consciousness remained with him. Somebody will take it. That was his idea. When you're distributing diamonds, not everybody will take it. They're skeptical. If you're selling diamonds, the joke was, Prabhupada used to say, the humor was, you don't expect so many customers. Because it is a commodity that not everybody is interested in. But that doesn't dissuade a diamond seller. You keep it available. Those that are interested will come. So that's the same thing. Now the next thing is that Prahlad Maharaj's aspects of Patita Pavan should be understood. He accepted the same principle that Gauranga and Nityananda Prabhu did. It didn't matter who. It didn't matter what their background was. Didn't matter. Just distribute. Then again, we have to state that the time that Gaur Nitai did their preaching was extraordinary. Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad says, in terms of daya, sarveshu bhuteshu, giving mercy to other living entities, there was no one. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, there was no one in the past that was so merciful as Gauranga. And there will never be anyone, he says, in the future also, that will ever be as merciful as Gauranga was. Then he gives so many things, analogies of merciful. Mercifulness, people, conditioned souls, consider their mother to be, and the Matri Bhava, the mother's mood is to be compassionate, to give shelter, to give comfort, to destroy pain. You know, that's Matri Bhava. But Prabodhananda Saraswati Pad, Gauranga is much, much more merciful than a mother. He says, because a mother is compassionate to her own children, but she may not be compassionate to other children. But Gauranga is much more compassionate than that. He gives so many different analogies. And where did Gauranga get it? Well, if you analyze that as Swarup Damodar Goswami shloka, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyanya. If you take that Sri Sri Radha and Krishna have combined together in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, so you have Krishna and with Radharani's effulgence, complexion, and bhava removed. So Radharani's bhava is like that, that let everyone come to Krishna. And it is not, this is why some Gaudiya Vaishnavas differ with us, that they think that Radharani is going to only increase the ujjval, the bright, brilliant, shining relationship with Krishna, Sringa Rasa. But that's erroneous on their part. The reality is that Gauranga Mahaprabhu, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela Chapter 4, he descended to disseminate and to taste all the relationships with Krishna. To taste it and distribute it. All the tastes in relationship with Krishna, Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. And to think that Sri Krishna's beloved consort, the Ladini Shakti, is not going to do that, is limiting her capacity. No, she distributes all the flavors, all the taste. That's Ladini. That's the mood. All of it, the pleasure potency of Vrindavan, all the taste, all the relationships, she increases. She manifests herself. This is what I had to, when I was in Alachua, I had to drive it home to some people. And I said, look, try to go a little deeper. Try to understand. When they were saying that all of our acharyas were in relationship with in Madhurya. And I said, not all. Well, the main ones, they said. They want to sweep under the carpet, you know, Hridoy Chaitanya, Goridas Pandit, you know, Mahesh Pandit. They want to take all the Dvadasha Gopals and just sweep them away as if they're not significant, right? And their followers. And as if that taste is not at all significant. You know, it's interesting how they try to do that. They just try to sweep them away, pack them in some corner. But that's not Radhika's mood. Then I opened her eyes a bit and I said, Radharani even manifests herself as Subal to taste that happiness. Really? Then later on, I got an email from my godbrother, Tripurari Swami, a friend of mine, and he asked me, any praman? And I said, sure. It's not a direct pramanam, but it's so darn close. How close do you want it? Even when you find quotes in Shastra, it's not exactly a smoking gun. It mentioned there in Radha Astotara Stotra that Srimati Radharani bestows a form equal to her own, to Subal. Now, how close do you want to get? How close do you want to get that Srimati Radharani bestows a form equal to her own, to Subal? What does that mean? And when you look at the pastime of Subal Vesh, you know, how for the purpose of meeting Sri Krishna, one day Radharani was unable to because she was obstructed by her maternal, you know, Abhimanyu's mother. Circumstances. The superiors were forbidding it. So how to get around them, you know? So then Subal came in with a calf, you know, and Jyotila acknowledged it. Yo, you're the friend of that black snake, Krishna. Mother, my calf has somehow run into your courtyard, and I have to get my calf. Well, be done with it. So Subal ran after the calf, and the calf just so happened, by the order of Yogamaya, you know, to run into the house. And, well, you know, calves do. Calves are like children. You know, vatsa. The Sanskrit word is vatsa. Hey, oh child, oh calf, you know. No rhyme or reason. You know, children do whatever they will, you know, right? And calves do whatever they will, right? So he ran after the calf, ran into the room, And then he changed his cloth with Radharani, and she picked up the calf, put it against her breast, and walked out. And Jyotila goes, oh, you got it. Okay. You know, and didn't say a word. And she was gone. And the evening, the same thing happened. You know, it's like when you hear the Iti story, you go, well, what happened? Yoga Maya. You know, the whole day? Vrishabhanu Nandini doesn't come out of her room for the whole day. You know what I mean? Neither did Jyotila and Mukura go inside to see what the heck is she doing. You know what I mean? It's really Yoga Maya. You know. So many Vrijavasi girls stay in their room the whole day. You know, big deal. You know what I mean? But it is a little extraordinary that the whole day that Mukura, Jyotila found no reason to go in to see what is Vrishabhanu Nandini doing all day long inside a room. She does that. She tastes all the relationships. Now, how does Radharani increase the relationship of the Vatsalya? She does that herself by coming in the morning to cook for Krishna. When Mother Yasoda embraces her, you know, smells her head, and all the young girls that associate with Radharani, they come in and Yasoda embraces them all, you know, and treats them like her own daughters, and they cook for Krishna. And then afterwards, Krishna gets fed with the boys as they have boisterous laughter going on. Huh? Then afterwards, then Radharani will take Krishna's remnants, and Dhunishta, Mother Yasoda's trusty right-hand girl, she makes sure that Radharani and her friends get Krishna's remnants. Right. And Yasoda smothers Radharani with affection. So, naturally, you know, these things increase Mother Yasoda's love, you know. And there may be more things, many more things as well. The point is that anything that is happy in Vrindavan, anything that gives happiness in Vrindavan in relation to Sri Krishna, emanates through Radhika in all the relationships. At the same time, every single Vaishnava is very happy with their relationship. How is that attained? Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtar Payeche Keva, Narottam Das Thakur says. Now one became liberated without serving Vaishnavas. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, my dear friends, sons of demons, everyone, the Yakshas and Rakshasas, the Yakshas are chatur. They're very smart. They have their potency, just like in Mahabharata is the story of how Sikandini became Shikandi by the grace of a Yaksha. It didn't satisfy Kuvera, the chief of the Yakshas. In fact, as he got so angry with that Yaksha for doing that, that he cursed them to remain. Okay, you remain. You've changed your maleness with that female, so let it be remaining like that. You know? He said like that. It was like destiny. It was destiny. I just was with a pundit friend of mine in Vrindavan. He had sent me one. I had asked him for a shloka from Hitopadesh. Whatever is destined to happen will happen. It cannot be otherwise. He said, I looked through the whole thing. The closest thing I came was this. The end, the last pada says, it says, Likyate, that which is written, api, projitam ka samartha. That which is, some word I forgot, I apologize. That which is written, destiny, on your forehead, can you wipe it off? Shrama, like a perspiration. Can you wipe it off? That which is written there? It's interesting. Now I go, what's the whole shloka? So then he opened it up. His Roman... Actually, I should download the whole thing. It's pretty good. You know, Hitopadesha is pretty good. I should probably download the whole Roman. You can pull it off the web. In any case, not a big deal. It says, amongst all the luminaries, the moon is so powerful. The chief of all the luminaries, it says there. And chief of all the luminaries, the moon is there. And amongst all the stars, it is the chief. Yet still, by providence, the moon is swallowed by Rahu. He says, therefore, if something is destined, who can wipe off that which is written there? Even Chandra, Bhagavan, has trouble from Rahu, according to the Parabdha, according to destiny. Even in spite of his exalted position, the one who gives strength to all the vegetables, Gita mentions, right? Chaturvida, like that. Rasagraha, he gives taste, he gives juice, life to all vegetables and all vegetation. Powerful, Soma. He was so powerful that out of his compassion, he extended his finger so Maricha could drink nectar and be nourished. He is in charge of the trees. The trees did their best to take care of the girl in the fourth canto who was orphaned by Primlocha Apsara, who went back to Brahma. He did her thing. She came, she married Kandumuni, she had a child, she brought the sage's position down by marriage, as by Brahma's order, and she went back to her lord in Swarga, back to her duty with Brahma, and left the child. And then the child was orphaned, left in the trees, and the trees said, how are we going to take care of this girl? And Soma extended his finger and gave milk to the girl. Such a qualified girl. If every person thought that Draupadi had a hard time with five husbands, it's nothing. Maricha had 10 husbands. All the prachetas. Can't even dream of what kind of girl she was in terms of lakshanas, qualities, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself suggested to the prachetas that this girl should be her wife. She impressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, obviously. And Krishna gives his devotees whatever they require for their service. It's interesting. Very interesting how Bhagavatam is so interesting in so many different ways. There's Sarupa Lakshanas and Tatastha Lakshanas at every turn of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this case, he's saying, O sons of demons, everyone including you, Yakshas and Rakshasas, now Rakshasas, they are man-eaters. They're famous in Mahabharata, Leela, really. And evidently they were quite prevalent. Enough that sages and saintly persons going through forests to different places encountered them now and then. And, you were lunch. If you thought that tigers, these are trouble. Just like in Bhakti Ratnakar, which I found out that the BBT is going to work on that for publishing. It mentions that in the old days, when devotees used to go from Puri, from Mayapur to Puri or Mayapur to Vrindavan, such an arduous journey through Jarikanda. And there was many tigers and lions in there and diseases on the way Sadhus would write their will before they left their village. That if I don't come back from Vrindavan, because you could stay there. You could become a Sadhu Baba. You could stay there or you could die on the way. Going there or coming back, right? There is nothing certain. Then my property should be dispersed in these ways. They left a will and testament. And the reality was, is because going through Charikanda, there were tigers, lions, and they don't make distinctions. You know, your lunch, you know, that's all. So that was that's the difficulty of human existence. Rakshasas. There were some very famous stories. Soldas is one example of a king that was cursed to become a Rakshasa. And he was forced to eat humans. I was reading recently that in World War II, Prabhupada sometimes mentioned that, you know, we're in the hellish description of the hellish planetary systems, about, you know, how the Yamadutas drag the Jivas through Vaitarani, the river filled with unmentionable substances, and the Jivas, who, if you didn't give cows in charity, so that there was not a boat there on the shore of the Vaitarani River to take you across, then they would drag you, the Yamadutas would drag you through that unmentionable river. You know, and sometimes you had to drink that stuff. So, it mentions it clear in the Sanskrit there. So, giving cows in charity before you die is Vaitarani, that which helps you cross that river. That's why Prabhupada's father did so. And it's interesting, if you read Garuda Purana Sarodhara, which is a good book for the library. It's worth every bit of the 120 rupees. India Bookhouse. I think it's a book. Good book. There it mentions, give in charity cows before you die because your children may not do it. It's very practical. One cow given in charity before you die is worth 1 lakh after you die. Makes sense. Anyway, it's pretty interesting. Rakshasas. They were there. Yet sometimes Rakshasas became purified, like the Puranic story, which I'm yet to get. I would love to get it. You know, when one Brahmin was doing Govardhan Parikrama, and some Rakshasa wanted to grab him, and he picked up a Govardhan Chela and went, "Tuck!" You know, and hit him with it. And when he hit the Rakshasa in the head with the Govardhan Chela, then the Rakshasa became transformed into a sadhu, you know, and something like that. You know what I mean? And then the Brahmin goes, "Well, where'd you come from?" And then, you know, and then the sadhu told him, "Well, in my previous life, I was blah, blah, blah." You know, and the whole thing went on, you know. "Because you've been so merciful to me, you know, by conking me in the head with this Govardhan Chela, that therefore, you know, now I'm free, you know. Now I'm free of my curse, and I'm free from the curse of being a man-eater," you know, and like that. So Krishna takes care of his devotees. And what happens to other devotees that are lunch? You know, Krishna didn't take care of them. Well, you can understand that when you're in trouble, if you chant Krishna's name, when you're in trouble, then your body may become lunch for some other living entity. That's all right. The body is temporary, but the living entity goes forward. And the main thing that propels the living entity forward is smaranam, remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, and bhakti never burns bright unless you're under tension, unless there's some extraordinary circumstances. So, therefore, Vaishnavas always take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God and under any circumstance. And when there's trouble, then you especially take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. Just like in South Africa, when one devotee left her body being killed, and everybody was asking me, how could it happen to her? And I go, well, this is South Africa. If it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to be here. You know, I'm sure she understood belatedly that her activities was a little bit foolish, but it's a little too late. One thing we can say about that particular devotee, judging the past as a barometer, that devotee was definitely fearless in many ways because she kept thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you can bank that when push came to shove, when she understood that her death was inevitable, she definitely thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means freedom. At the minimum, I said, a devotee is never destroyed. Nahi kalyana krit kachit durgatim tatagachati, Gita mentions. At the very minimum, even if a devotee has to take birth again, it's always better. Anything is better than South Africa. I said to them, considering the hell hole that girl lived in Pretoria, and I visited her, I did a program at her house, and it was definitely a hell hole, you know? And it was so hellish that everybody she invited to the program didn't show up. It was that hellish. I said, well, Ma, next time there's a program, it better be in a neutral location, someplace where devotees could actually come. But she used to live in that area. And evidently the Supreme Personality of Godhead didn't like it that his devotees should live in that area. So by taking her out, you know, naturally, she doesn't have to reside there anymore. I said, even materially, a devotee is always benefited by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's interesting here, Yakshas and Rakshasas, they are not excluded by Prahlad Maharaj. There are Puranic examples of Yakshas and Rakshasas that got the mercy of the Lord. How did they get it? They must have somehow served a devotee or came in contact with a Paramahansa Vaishnava. Not an ordinary person. Then it says the unintelligent women, Striya, the most intelligent of the unintelligent, let's just say, that comes to my mind is Anasuya, who fed Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva herself with her own hands. That sounds pretty intelligent to me. And she is so great and so revered amongst women that when Ramchandra Bhagavan was domiciling in that area, Chitrakoot area, then his wife took shelter while Atri Muni was giving comfort to Ramchandra. Then Sita Devi took shelter of Anasuya. And the famous Anasuya Sita Samvad is there. One Mataji, I think somewhere in South Africa, asked me for that. And I Googled for it and I got it in a most amazing translation. What was very interesting to me was there was some Scottish or Irish, you know, scholar a couple hundred years ago or something, who tried to serve Valmiki's Ramayana by putting it in English prose in the same poetry style. You know, it was very impressive. But in any case, it's a very poignant samvad that describes Sri Dharma. Anasuya was very intelligent. So, the bottom line is this. Serve sadhus. That's intelligent. A lady may have whatever she's got. Right? But if she tries to serve devotees, she tries to do sadhus, she tries to serve deities, benedictions come. Should I tell you one? It's interesting. One household, a couple friend of mine, he's an intellectual, and she's an old Bombay girl, right? And smart also, smart Bombay girl as well. In any case, so I visited their house because he's an old friend and hadn't seen him in many years. So I visited his house. And afterwards, he says, hey, sadhu's visiting is great. My wife just got a brand new job, you know? And she's got 10 people underneath her. And she's now the main breadwinner in the family. You know, she said, sannyasi's visiting her house is great. You never know what's going to happen as the result of serving them. And I said, yeah, well, we all won. It's interesting. He told me that story. Well, take it whichever way you want. Okay, Shudras. Shudras are considered, according to Bhagavad Gita, are meant to serve the higher classes. And there are examples of many Shudras born in Shudra families that were alwars. They were great. The thing about what Prahlad Maharaj is referring to here, that they can, the Shudras, coward men, birds, lower animals, birds, there are Puranic stories of birds, like one bird that was sick, fell off the shikar. Remember? Fell off the shikar. And some dog grabbed it in its jaws. And then another dog was chasing that dog. And he thought it was somebody's trying to take my lunch away from me. So he ran around production around the temple. And the bird left his body in the jaws of the dog while going around the temple. You know, production of the temple. So in the glorification of production of the temple, the bird got benefit, you know. The bird became liberated by doing production around the temple in the jaws of the dog. So here's an example of birds, you know. Prabhupada had commented once that if an ant crawls over across the lotus feet of the deity, they're as good as the pujari. Well, you know, birds, ants, lower animals, sinful living entities can revive their eternal spiritual life and exist forever by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Now, he, certainly, Achutatam, the qualities of Achuta. Now, what's interesting is Prabhupada's quoting Madhvacharya in the last line. It says, Achutatam Chutibarjanam. Achuta is he who is infallible who never falls down. That is Achuta, who never falls down. Chutibarjanam, give up anything that's fallen. Chutibarjanam, anything that has fallen, give it up. Achutatam Chutibarjanam. It's interesting. When you take the idea that Achuta Gotra is those who are in the dynasty of Achuta who is infallible. That means that if they're in that dynasty, they should uphold that dynasty. Just like in Brahmin, Brahminical society, you know, the Kashyaps, they're descendants of Bhrigu. The whole idea of it, that elevated birth means to uphold the dignity of the dynasty. All right? So by initiation, by sadhu initiation, by sadhu sangha, we can be awarded Achuta Gotra. Because specifically, I have to say it for Videshis like me. You know, when you go to see some Karmakandik Panda, you know, you're somewhere in the bank of Jamuna Ganga or something like that. And they ask you, Gotra? You know, then we say, oh, Achuta Gotra, you know, because Videshis, we don't know what Gotra we came from, right? We don't know. So we always say Achuta. But actually the bottom line is, wait a minute. Am I really upholding Achuta? Because satsanga mukta dusango, Bhagavatam mentions. Attain good association, give up all bad association. This is the quality of a Vaishnava. A satsanga tyaga e Vaishnava achar, stri sanga eka sadhu, Krishna bhakta ar. Krishna abhakta ar. Like that. Gauranga Mahaprabhu mentions the qualities. So, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. Grahanam. To accept the principles. So the idea is the darpan, the mirror, can always be present. Whatever, however much we have accepted Bhakti Yoga, it can always be increased. Bhaktatvam, Brahmanatvam, Vaishnavatvam, Sannyasatvam, you never attain these things. You can always improve it. You never attain it. Bhaktatvam, Sadatvam, or Sadvyatvam, whatever it may be, Brahmanatvam, Vaishnavatvam, Sannyasatvam, you'll never attain it. Because as soon as you approach it, it immediately barjaga. It becomes more. It becomes bigger. Real Vaishnava is sudanyamati. Always humble. Always eager. Because vidyam dadati vinayam. If you, as the Subhashita says, that real vidya is vinayam. Humility. Vinayat, by humility, yati patratvam. By humility, yati goes patratvam. You have the quality of a patra, a holding pot. Patratva dhanamabnoti, and becoming a receptacle of mercy of other Vaishnavas. It means memorize something, contemplate it, hold it. Patratvat. By that ability to be a holding container, dhanamapnoti, you'll get money, or you'll get spiritual wealth, or you get lakshanas, right? Or, and even dhanam, if you want to say material opulence. Well, you know, material brains does follow spiritual brains. If you have spiritual brains, well, you should have some common sense also. At least we hope so, right? Common sense also. Patritva dhanam amnoti and dhanam dharmam tatakasukha. And with dhanam, wealth, dharmam, you can maintain religious principles, tatak, and then by that, sukham, you can become happy. So it's a nice shubhashita. Real vidya, real knowledge means humility. And that humility, you never reach the banks, the end, the shore, the other shore, the opposite shore of humility. It always increases. You approach the tatta, but the other bank, ustarasa, that you'll never attain. Because it always increases. Because only by vinayat yati patratvam, because by being humble, you become greedy. Tatra lolim api mulyam ekalam. The essence of the Bhakti Yoga principles is lolium, intense greed to have it. Now, wanting something so bad that you really work hard day and night for it is really something. There's a beautiful verse, which I've yet to memorize. I have to apologize to you. From Ananda Vrindavan Champu, where Srimati Radhika says, one's devotional advancement as a devotee can be measured how greedy they are to attain Krishna. Although one may feel unqualified for such greed, nevertheless the greed to attain Krishna remains. Interesting. Interesting statement. However unqualified we may feel, each and every one of us, real advancement of a devotee is lolium, greed to get it. Somehow I will get Krishna somehow or other. Maybe I will attain him, maybe I won't, but I will still strive for him. Radharani says, even humility doesn't stop it. You may feel unqualified for such greed, but nevertheless the desire to attain Krishna remains. The greed to obtain Krishna remains. The principle of bhakti is greed. It was a beautiful verse. It's interesting how she qualifies it by saying, you may feel unqualified. That's all right. But nevertheless, it still burns. Can you revive your original eternal spiritual life and exist forever by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga? Now, one interesting thing I was discussing with my pundit friend in Vrindavan. There is a famous verse in Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter 9, verse 11. It's very deep. The purport, the shloka, the purport in that Bhagavatam shloka is good. Compare it to the translation Prabhupada gives of the same shloka in Adi Leela, chapter 3. Verse 111. If you do so, you will understand that Prabhupada's translation of that verse there in Chaitanya Charitamrita was much better than the light he gave in the shloka in Bhagavatam. One devotee said, how can you say it is better? And I said, you read it and judge. Put the two together. And when they did, they go, wow, this is better. There you have it, you know? It's tastier. He went deeper in that translation of that one than he did in the Bhagavatam. And yet the purport in the Bhagavatam was very deep. Deeper than the one he gave in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there you have it. There you have it. Now, interestingly, Toma Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja Asesu Tekshata Patha Nanunata Pungsam. One who is engaged in intense devotional service. It's like the same thing in Bhagavatam, Tivra Bhakti. Paribhavita Bhakti means with devotion. Bhava, transcendental devotion. It means strong mood. Because it's only by Paribhavita Bhakti that Krishna becomes attracted. It's not the dravya, it's the love. Because you have love, you try to get the best dravya, material item you can offer. Natch. But the nature of dravya is that it's going down. The nature of it. It's always going to be worse, no matter what you get it. The quality of you got of one item now is not at all like later. Like gems. I have some stuff which I put in my chest to my Lord, that even if you wanted to now in Jaipur, you would not be able to get that same quality. What I got 30 years ago, casually in the bazaar to offer the neck of my Lord, for love or money, you could not get that now, 30 years later. It's just not available in the bazaar. It's not available. So I looked at that when I offered daily that bhushan to the Lord, and I smile sometimes remembering that. That bhakti has to be something like that. You just can't put a value on it. Hrit Saroja, the Lord sits on the lotus of the devotee's heart who has such mood. Nanunatha Pungsam, he does it all the time. That's what Nanunatha Pungsam means. He's the Lord of multifarious lords. Yadi yadi diya, and whatever those devotees contemplate. Taurugaya, O glorified Lord. Tad tad vibhu pranaya se saranugrahaya. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad mentions, as what was common to me, common sense to me was, the Supreme Lord manifests his form exactly as the devotee hankers for him. Yes, that's true. And how else does Krishna become manifest to conditioned souls like us? Through his shiksha, through his instructions, through his words, and the words of previous acharyas. He'll come to protect you in that kind of Krishna katha that you're hankering for. Yes, and there's a third one, which I just now learned. How is that? When you're hankering, paribhavita bhakti means this lobha should increase, that you hanker to serve Krishna in a particular way. And it simply eats at you all the time. It's consuming. That it's like a hope against hope. How will I attain Krishna? Serve Krishna in this taste, in this relationship that I really want. It's a consuming thing. It eats at you day and night. And if that is actually true, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says that Krishna helps the devotee obtain that which they want. You want to serve Krishna in a particular way, Krishna will help you attain it. Great! Isn't that great? Hey, that's great. It's pacifying, isn't it? Hey, there's a lot more in Shastra. When you see that, very difficult. Like Rupa Goswami, there's one shloka in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that's scary. When you read it, we want to serve Krishna in a particular way, but Rupa Goswami says, very rare, very difficult to get. Well, all right, how long does it take? 100 births? Million births? It's very difficult to attain. Somehow we're going to get there. If that's the burning determination, then Krishna will help you get there. But what's interesting about it, as you meditated on it more and more, is that these eternal associates of Krishna, they have a platform. And don't think that we're going to get there so easy. We got to come up to their standard. Their love for Krishna, their spontaneity, their surrender, their dedication, sold outness, we must study it. Because that's the platform. And we better work. Loba, chatra, lolium, the greed means we better push ourselves to come toward that standard. Are we going to attain it or not? That's up to them. Whether they clarify Krishna is the judge and his eternal associates are the jury. Right? They're the ones who decide that we cut the mustard or not. Right? Our business is to push forward. Ekena manasa. Tasmad ekena manasa. Bhagavan satvatam shrotavya shruti. Smartavya chachatabhayam. There's so many shlokas in Bhagavatam. Hat! Go forward. That's focused. Then we can attain it. Yeah, Prahlad Maharaj said, sure. That was the nature of it. Sure, all you daityas and demons. But not everybody got it. Just like if you look at Varochan, he was a Shaivite, right? His grandson got it. Varochan didn't. Bali got it because Bali was a follower of Prahlad. And his shlokas prove it. And his determination proved it. He was ready to sacrifice everything for Vamandeva. He proved it. That grandson proved that he was really the follower of Prahlad Maharaj. Didn't matter, you know, the daityas or demons, you know. If you follow a Sat Vaishnava, by that grace of that Sat Vaishnava, you go, you know. Virochan, evidently, you know, he wasn't so close to his father. You know? What can the father do? Hare Krishna. I'm saying all this because this shloka is great. We can all attain your eternal spiritual life for by accepting the principles of Bhakti Yoga. That is a big chunk right there, accepting. Have I accepted? The Darpan always is in front of us. Have I really accepted? The longer you're in the movement, you really start to think that I haven't even started yet. It's a good quality to have, you know? It's a good quality to have. Sure. Hanging with devotees is great. Have I really accepted the process? Because there's so many times, yogach chalatamanasa, the mind is taken away by so many things. We have good days, we have lousy days. It'll all be mentioned at the time of death. One of the cryptic things is, bhajan koro sajan koro, murtli janli hoy. Your bhajan, your worship of Krishna and your sajan, sadhu sangha will be tested on how you practice the final examination. Did we pass? You know, the funny thing about Bombay all the time, you see it in the newspaper, you know, that some boy or girl, you know, in their 10th standard or in, you know, HSC, SSC, you know how it goes. And they got so struck with fear and anticipation that they were going to flunk the examination that they committed suicide, you know, right? And pressure is so intense to succeed, right? And if they think that I'm not going to cut the mustard, so they commit suicide, right? And then, you know, the newspaper says that they passed. You know what I mean? It's a little late now, you know what I mean? But I remember reading that sometimes, you know, and like, poof, amazing, you know? So it's the same thing. Every one of us should go straight with true determination. Is it going to be enough to cut the mustard? Your guess is as good as mine. We should continue trying. You know what I mean? And you never know until you get that invitation. Some people actually get it before they die. These are called... But when you look at those devotees that have actually got that, they're really good devotees. You know, they're really, really strong devotees. They impressed Krishna. They impressed their spiritual master. You know? They impressed it. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead came in their heart and told them. Before they gave up their body. And they confidentially told some of their intimate associates and then gave up the body. But for the rest of us, maybe, maybe not. Maybe you'll only find out at the end, right? And after that, you know, what did it matter? For those that are left over, your relatives, everybody else that was left by, it didn't matter, right? You know, for us, we think, sure, festival in Goloka, right? Sure, festival in Goloka, right? That's what we're supposed to say. How much of a festival? To what degree? Yeah, like I said, at the minimum, it's always an improvement. No one loses by Bhakti Yoga. Even at the minimum, there's always an improvement. Now, whether they actually go back to him, back to God, that may be another thing. But one thing is for sure, there's always an improvement. And the protection of Krishna is always solid. That's what Narottam says. Ashray loye bhaje, Krishna tyari nyahi chaje, arasabha gela vakaran. Wonderful statement of Narottam. Narottam Das Thakur hits the nail on the head real good. One who takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna will always give him shelter. And everyone else waste their time in the world. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful day. No? How? I'm over time. Huh? If there are questions, come and visit me. Hari Bol. May your service not be... My business is not to swerve all of you. Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, I really love him. When you see him, he's got this wry smile on his face as you see him, and he goes, "How may I swerve you?" It's interesting. It's chastening. I should serve this Vaishnava or Vaishnavi that's come to see me. I should not swerve them. In the same way, may I not swerve your service, Hare Krishna. If you got any questions, come and discuss it.